It's showtime, folks!
Ooh, so this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
Happy Tuesday, everyone, and welcome into the fan-run studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Overtime is on your airwaves here, clocking in at 6:01, taking you up until 8 o'clock, rounding out your day here. Tanner Carson, Julia Ramsey, and intern Will Stevens are with you for yet another edition of Overtime today. How's everybody doing?
I'm doing great, Tanner. How are you doing?
I can't really complain. Pretty easygoing day. I guess I really can't complain about that. Had some stuff to complain about yesterday, nothing today, so.
Yeah, how's the side effects from the sunburn?
Better. Not as itchy. I've been doing pretty consistent aloe applications.
That's good.
You know, I conveniently already had a doctor's appointment today anyway.
Uh-oh.
Before this happened. It wasn't over anything serious. It's just like one of those like once every 3 month things for my medication.
Yeah.
And at the end, I'm like, yeah, I'm not really worried about this, but I want some reassurance that, you know, everything's going smoothly here. So I just had the sunburn checked out. And it's like, yeah, I mean, this is the worst that could happen. You're not blistering or anything, but it got you pretty good. So just,
gotcha.
just keep applying aloe. If it's itchy, take you some allergy medication. I took a Benadryl last night, so that was fantastic.
Good.
So that did help. So it's getting there. I just gotta grin and bear it at this point. But
it's part of it.
No real complaints about the sunburn
good.
Today from me. So you won't have to worry about that. Oh, we got some breaking news!
Breaking news!
Just across the wire here. Will, do you happen to know where the breaking news music is?
He has no idea where it is.
I can find it.
Trying to find it. It might be in the first three. Well, I'm not going to wait. Will, just give me a thumbs up if you find it.
Breaking news on
our
show.
I got it.
You got it. Go to the Fox Sports Knoxville breaking news desk. The Knoxville Beer Board, if I could talk, approves UT alcohol sales permit at Neyland Stadium and Thompson Bowling Arena, with a few exceptions, it says.
Oh.
But it's approved.
It's approved.
It is approved. Woo! Yes. Yes. Yes.
Four more years until I can enjoy
it.
Things
you like to see.
Love to see it here. Knoxville Beer Board moves to approve UT alcohol sales at Neyland and Thompson Bowling. This is just coming across the wire here. So you knew if you were going to get the sales, you had to get approval by the Beer Board.
Yep.
Aramark, who is the supplier of concessions already at Tennessee athletic events, and they're going to be handling the alcohol sales now. They had to come back with a more detailed plan in front of the Beer Board. They did that this week, and now it looks like everything is going to be going smoothly.
Thank goodness.
The company that Woo! Wants to sell beer and wine Neyland Stadium Thompson Bowling Arena had their detailed plan. Aramark did. Let's see. They came back today with full documentation with all their detailed about, you know, what type of cups that the beverages are going to be served in, where the stations are going to be,
mm-hmm.
Details about security measurements, all that type of stuff. The Beer Board needed to have a plan in front
yes.
of them. If anybody had been following, I mean, this was going on this afternoon. You knew that this was going to happen pretty much any minute. Blake Stevens of WATE, he was at the Beer Board meeting. He said it could happen any minute. And now the Beer Board has made its decision.
Thank goodness.
And don't fret. Don't fret if you're worrying about this not happening, this being killed at the midnight hour here. the beer board has seen the plans, and they like them.
Yes.
Initial reaction here, Julia, since me and you are the only ones who can legally enjoy this.
Four more years, baby. Four more years
before Will Stevens can legally
enjoy.
It'll
be here before you know it.
Legally enjoy overpriced alcohol at a sporting event. Julia, quick thoughts on this. Big breaking news here on Overtime. Glad we could break this.
It's huge, yeah. I've been waiting for this. I'm so excited. I'm glad we are on board. I think it's going to be great all around. It's going to be great for the fans. It's going to be great for the university. They're going to make some money. We're going to have beer in the stadium. What's the downside to this? There's no downside. It's amazing.
It's really good. It's really good. I'm glad that Aramark had their plan in front of the beer board. They had to see what they had to see. And now another step in making this a reality.
So I'm very happy about
that. How about that? Huge news coming across the wire here just after your 6 o'clock hour. Finally, we get to break real news.
I know.
It's either broken earlier in the day or it's after our show gets off the air.
Yes.
It seems like we've been cursed a lot with the bad timing. Now, finally, we get to break something of importance here.
This is big news.
Absolutely huge news. A big victory for common sense. I also would like to add to this if I would editorialize
it. It really is common sense.
Other schools, the ones that are sitting out, your Georgias, your Bamas, Auburn, Mississippi State, I think, is a Mississippi school, South Carolina as well. All of them, they're going to approve this eventually.
Yeah.
As we've said several times when we've discussed this here. But good move. Good move in the common sense department.
I like it.
Right here by Tennessee, by the beer board, everybody that had to be involved in all this. And as we told you last night, just because of the plans and everything that has to be implemented, it might not be week one. It might not be the Georgia State game. Where beer is going to be sold in Neyland.
Right.
But
eventually it will happen.
Eventually being maybe week two against BYU.
That'd be great.
You know, of course, coming up here in just a few weeks, they're going to do a little test run at Thompson Bowling Arena, August the 3rd, Alice Cooper concert.
Yes.
So we get to see a little test run about selling it, you know, the security measures, making sure people don't get overserved.
Yep.
All the things that you have to do to be able to sell alcohol to thousands of people.
Perfect opportunity for the test run.
Absolutely. Well, another big W today in getting some overpriced beer at your Tennessee sporting events. Love it. Love to see it.
Love it.
Absolutely love to see it here. Trying to find some more details about this, about these exceptions, because I don't want to gloss over that. But while I find that, SEC Media Days Day 2, that was going to be our lead-in before this news broke here. Today was Tennessee's day. It's Jeremy Pruitt took the podium, and then afterwards, the contingent of players that he brought along with him, Daryl Taylor, Daniel Petulli, and Jarrett Garantano, of course, they each had their turn speaking to the media. Going to try to get our own Trey Wallace to join the show sometime later this hour here. He's making his way up from Hoover back up to East Tennessee here. I'll try to get him on. He was boots on the ground the last 2 days here. Talked to him about what he heard from Pruitt and the players as well. We'll get into a lot of what was said on the other side as well. I'm trying to get some more details here. So the beer board has granted the permits to Aramark. That's officially what's happened today.
Right.
This paves the way for alcohol sales at Neyland Stadium, Thompson Bowling Arena, and Regal Soccer Stadium. So those are the three venues.
They're going to have beer at the soccer stadium. It's going to be a thing.
I mean, Lady Vols soccer had their best season in program history last year. I think it's capitalizing on it.
Could be one of the most successful programs at the school right now.
I mean, they had the Athletic Director's Cup points. I mean, they did get the most points.
Yeah.
Out of every sport on campus. So
they are dominating.
If you want to use that measure, they are the best program on campus right now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the fact right there.
I mean, adding alcohol is only going to help them.
I'm trying to see any more details here. So it's been approved, but the notification I got this from WBIR. It said there are some stipulations or some exceptions. I can't find a story on that yet. But imagine. Oh, I'm imagining this now. Imagine if BYU was the first game that alcohol was sold in Neyland Stadium.
Right.
Imagine the BYU fans not only walking into that environment with us crazy fans, but they're going to be fueled by illegal alcohol in the stadium.
It's
going to
be a culture shock.
It really is. It really is. I mean, this is...
That can only work out in our advantage. Like, come on.
They're bringing a fan base who shies away from caffeine.
Yeah.
I mean, could you imagine this now?
Imagine life without alcohol, without caffeine. Like, I don't know.
While we're talking about Utah, do you know Utah, to nobody's surprise here? This is completely random, but it's kind of like segueing into this. I learned over the weekend Utah is the strictest state when it comes to... getting access to alcohol in the entire country.
Doesn't surprise me.
To nobody's surprise here. I want to look up some of this stuff and go over it. But
strictest state. So, obviously it has to be, 21 years old to buy.
I mean, that's the way it is all across the country.
Right.
But, this list right
here. They're not selling it in certain gas stations or something?
I'm about to run through it here. And we're going to get to SEC Media Days. Hopefully get Trey Wallace here this hour as well. But while I've got a few minutes here.
That's really interesting.
I just want to tell you what these BYU fans, what type of environment they're coming from before they come over
to. We need to paint a picture right now.
So this article, this is from 2014. So this is 5 years old. I don't think much has changed, though. The title of the article is Deciphering Utah's Insanely Strict and Very Weird Liquor Laws.
Okay.
So, let's see here. First up, any beer which is over 4% ABV, so 4% alcohol by volume, is considered liquor.
Whoa.
So beer is considered liquor?
Any beer that's over 4% alcohol. What's the ABV in Bud? I feel like Bud Light's over 4%.
I don't know. Let's look.
There's a lot of beers that's like...
They're definitely over
4%. So, like, your regular domestic light's considered in Utah liquor.
Right.
Okay. It says in Salt Lake City, nobody can stop you from drinking your fill of Miller 64s, but anything with a slightly more potent ABV is going to be subject to an onslaught of restrictions, more nonsensical... it's making an Always Sunny reference here for some reason. More nonsensical than the Nightman Cometh, one of my favorite episodes.
Oh, my gosh.
Under state law, any beer that exceeds 3.2% by weight or 4% by volume in alcohol is considered liquor. Those not beers are banned from grocery stores and convenience stores, as well as taverns, which would be considered beer bars, clubs, or lounges where beer sale revenue exceeds food sales. You can still order higher ABV beers at restaurants with full-service liquor licenses, but just like your friend sipping actual liquor, you'll be cut off a full hour early.
It says Bud Light is said to have 4.2% ABV.
It's
Budweiser is at 5%.
So Bud Light and Bud Heavy is considered liquor in Utah.
That's crazy.
It says bar. Oh, this is one of the ones I heard about. So basically, if you order a cocktail, if you order a mixed drink in Utah, the bartender cannot make it in plain sight.
Oh, I've heard about this one.
What?
Yeah. It's called the Zion Curtain. Not Zion Williamson, but the Zion Curtain. It's actually a partition restaurants are required to put up so impressionable youths can't see bartenders mixing or pouring drinks. It's to keep underage kids from seeing it.
Wow.
A lot of them are made of frosted glass, but at least one Salt Lake City barman works behind a two-way mirror.
Oh, my goodness.
Look at one of these things.
Imagine.
This is like a big frosted glass, like...
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Imagine going to the bar and, like, having that set up.
Utah's weird.
That's so weird.
They break out the measuring spoon for your cocktails. As the Utah Department of Alcohol Beverage Control put it so eloquently in a newsletter... Quote, dispensing systems must be calibrated to pour a quantity of liquor not to exceed 1.5 ounces.
That makes sense.
Or basically no more than 1.5 ounce of alcohol in your drink. No exceptions. Yeah. So they basically...
they got to get it perfectly measured. Yeah.
I think some of them are like digital. On on bottles of liquor like bartenders would pour. Like
yeah.
It stops them.
That's crazy. Because you can go some places here and, you know, bartenders, obviously they're qualified to do their job. They've gone through the training and everything. But they can just eyeball it most of the time.
Utah's not the only state like this. Massachusetts, I think Pennsylvania's like this too. No happy hours.
No happy
anywhere.
Hour.
Happy hours are illegal. You cannot buy beer in a container larger than 2 liters, so no kegs.
Jeez.
And how about this?
I bet the beer prices and prices for alcohol in general in Utah are probably way more.
It has to be.
Yeah.
But this is one of the most bizarre things. They talked about taverns earlier. They had beer-only licenses, and if you stroll in a tavern for a beer, they'll give it to you with a little fuss. However, if you want the same thing in a restaurant with a liquor license, you will not be served until you order some food.
Hmm.
It's against the law to give a customer alcohol without an additional food order. Yeah.
Gotta have something in your stomach
What a weird state.
Soak it up.
What a weird state. And that's pretty much it from the big ones there. But, yeah, what a culture shock. Making it full circle here.
Yeah.
Back to beer now being approved by the beer board to be sold.
BYU fans are going to come here and be like,
what
is this?
Well, just let them go to, like, any restaurant on the strip, too.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be like, what? You can get alcohol without ordering food?
You can get alcohol and watch it be poured in front of you?
What? Even mixed? Gasp.
That's crazy.
Just big culture shock. I just cannot wait for it. It's going to be a grand old time. But yes,
I really hope we have approval by the BYU game.
Oh, please. Oh, it's going to be so disappointing if it's not.
I really hope we do.
So disappointing. But in case you have missed it here, start off the program with some breaking news. The Knoxville City Beer Board has officially approved beer permits under Aramark to Neyland Stadium, Thompson Bowling Arena, and Regal Soccer Stadium. The sale of beer and wine at UT Sporting Events is imminent.
Let's go.
It's happening, folks.
Let's do it.
Crack open your $12 Mick Ultra. It is time. It's also time for us to hit the first break of the program. 865-546-8200, 546-8200. Give us a call on the Next Door Home Network hotline here. Will greet you as you call in. I'm going to try to get Trey Wallace to join us as he ventures his way back up to East Tennessee from SEC Media Days as well. We'll tell you all that went down Tennessee's stop in Hoover. And today's day two of SEC Media Days. Coming up shortly here, we got that and a whole lot more coming up here. You are listening to Overtime. Keep it tuned right here on Fan Run Radio. We are back on Overtime here, 865-546-8200 to get on the Next Door Home Network hotline here. All right, hopping into SEC Media Days, day two was underway today. Tennessee, it was Tennessee's day to step out to the podium here. Jeremy Pruitt kicks things off by pretty much having an unofficial record for the longest opening statement by head coach in SEC Media Days history.
Has to be a record.
21 minutes! 21 minutes Jeremy Pruitt spoke for.
Don't they allow 30?
Yeah, they allow
total?
30.
Yeah.
They allow 30 total when it comes to opening statement and questions that were taken.
Yeah.
You could just tell Pruitt, he was basically trying to do his best House of Representatives congressional floor filibuster.
Yeah.
He was trying to just fill up as much time as possible, say whatever bullet points came to his mind. The more he could do that, the less dumb questions he would have had to take. And maybe some of the questions weren't going to be dumb, but, man, a lot of SEC Media Days questions that coaches get asked, unless there's some pressing off-the-field topic that you really want to know about, it's the same type of questions.
Yep.
They really are. We know Pruitt hates speaking to the media anyway, but this is one of these things you have to do. He was trying to get through it as quickly as possible. So that was a big talking point here, just about how long he talked. Also, the suit choice. A lot of people talked Jeremy Pruitt's suit. He went with the brown suit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't care.
Yeah.
As long as he's not looking gaudy and just completely awful. And, you know,
which he didn't look awful at all.
No, I think the humorous part was the fact that people just look at Pruitt's suit choice and are like, yeah, that's a football coach.
Yeah.
That's a football coach. This isn't somebody who's trying to be on the cover of GQ.
No, not worried about his media appearance at all.
No, not at all. But I don't know. Why are so many people talking about his suit, though?
I don't know.
Is it just that slow of a day?
I guess. Maybe he didn't give them any juicy quotes to say. I don't know. To talk about. I don't get the suit thing, because it's fine. Like, the suit's fine. Maybe they're not used to seeing Pruitt in a suit.
Maybe not.
I mean, every time we see him, he's wearing a, you know, Tennessee pullover, or he's in his coaching uniform.
It's like, if we care this much about our coach's fashion, just get him on the phone with Jonathan Van Ness. Just go ahead.
Yeah.
Just go ahead, and he'll take care of him, I guess. But I don't think Pruitt cares that much.
I don't think he does either.
The man cares about football, cornbread, and golf.
Yes.
I think his family. I think probably so. Let's go ahead and go over. We got him now on the Next Door Home Network hotline here. Coming up from Hoover, Alabama, making his way back from SEC Media Days, we got Fox Sports Knoxville's own Trey Wallace. Trey, good to hear from you, sir.
Hey, buddy. How are y'all? Doing okay?
Just doing fine, man. Just trying to knock out a radio show here. We had the joyous news that we were able to break that the Knoxville Beer Board officially approved the beer permits for UT athletic events. So that's been something positive to talk about.
You're breaking news to me. I'm abiding by Tennessee law, so I'm not checking anything.
Look at you. Good on you.
So what did they... So did they approve Aramark?
They did. Aramark came in front of the beer board today with their detailed plan. They answered any questions for the members of the beer board, and the beer board approved it. And so it looks like the sale in Neyland Stadium, Thompson Bowling Arena, and Regal Soccer Stadium is imminent.
Well, I know for a fact that they've had these plans drawn up now for over 6 months. When it comes to how they were going to serve University of Tennessee and Aramark, going back and forth on this quietly until it got passed. That's a big to-do. So now you'll start seeing it now around campus. They'll start trying to roll everything out. They'll try to put everything together over the next, I mean, what, we're 40 some odd days away from the kickoff of football. So they're going to probably try their hardest to get that in place by Georgia State. If they can't by the first game of the season, I promise you they'll have it by the second game. But they know what they're doing. They know where they're going to put all the dispensers, and that's good news for Tennessee fans that like to consume alcohol. But it's also good news because it is a money raiser for the university, and Tennessee's reserve needs to go up big time, so they'll take any of the cash they can get.
Yeah, the same thing we're talking about here. And also, I mean, you know you have those handful of schools, South Carolina, Alabama, Georgia, and some others. They're holding out and having the beer sales at their stadiums. You'll see what the type of revenue money the schools that decide to participate in the sales make in just a few years, and I'm sure they're going to fall in line very shortly.
No, I agree with you. And you also have to look at somebody like Alabama. It's not like they really have to rush into it. They won't ever say it publicly. But they don't have to rush into it because they really it's not a money grab, but it's also a situation where the people in the suites and the lodges and all that good stuff, they're taken care of at Alabama. I thought LSU probably had the best one of them all. They had a section in the lower south end zone. I forgot what they called it. You pay $25 to get in. You get a wristband. You get to pay to drink. And then what they did was they took that new upper deck section, I think it's in the upper north end zone, and they turned that into a drinking area. So a lot of these schools have this stuff planned out. I think you'll see Tennessee follow suit at what LSU's doing, maybe what Texas is doing. But yeah, after a not really newsworthy day, beer is the stuff we're talking about. That's interesting.
It is. Hey, I mean, it's something that it's going to be a culture shock for Tennessee fans to be able to actually finally buy alcohol at sporting events now. I'm sure it's going to be the same for the other schools around the SEC that are going to participate. But, Trey, you're heading back up from SEC Media Days in Hoover. It was Tennessee's turn today. Jerry Pruitt, I don't know if you were on the phone holding when I said it, but it's almost like his 21-plus minute opening statement. He was trying to do like a Mr. Smith Goes to Washington filibuster, just to speak for as long as possible to get everything over quicker. Go ahead.
And it was – look, the neat thing about it was – And shout out to Tennessee and other universities do this. They let the local media that covers the team, they let them, you know, get 15, 20 minutes, whatever they need, with the players and the coaches upstairs before they make their way down to the main hall. And the reason why they do that is you're going to have a lot of national outlets or people from other teams that are going to want to ask questions. So Tennessee beat writers won't be able to get a lot in on the main floor, which is smart. So goodbye, Tennessee, for doing that and getting their local. But I agree. The whole – and I was sitting next to Dan Harrelson from Ballswire at the time in the main room, and the joke was kind of going on upstairs. Is how long is he going to talk? And let's see how many questions get out. Well, I clocked it right at around 23 minutes. Of him talking. And they were waiting. Oh, they were waiting for him to stop talking, for people to be able to ask questions. But I thought it was hilarious. But you know what? He's Jeremy Pruitt, and we knew what to expect, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it doesn't shock me. I'd like to see if this was a record for the longest opening statement. But, I mean, he comes from that Saban school of not really wanting to love talking to the media, even though he did say in his opening statement that he does appreciate the media. He said something along the lines, Trey, I believe, without the media, you know, the SEC wouldn't have been as big of a deal as it is now. So, you know, he's acting like he's very appreciative, but this is a guy who just absolutely hates talking to the media, though. But
yeah, he doesn't care. And it's all I will say this today. Now, and you have to picture this out. So you leave the main room, you go into the electronic media room, and you're answering questions there. And I'll say this about Jeremy Pruitt today. He might have given the most honest answer, the most heartfelt answer that I've heard since he's been in Knoxville. And I posted video of it. When I get back, we'll do some writing on it. But kind of shored up a little bit. He was asked, hey, look, if there's things you could have done when you first got here to Tennessee in those first 6 to 12 months when you're on the job with the players, you know, what would you go back and change? And I thought he said it perfectly. He said along the lines of, look, when I first got to Tennessee, I was having to worry about, okay, what are we going to do with the weight room? What are we going to do about the expansion at Anderson facility? What are we doing about Smokey's Grill? He said, I should have stepped back and spent those first 6 months with the players, because he said he kind of lost the players in a sense, that the players noticed that he wasn't, and it wasn't on purpose, but that he noticed that he wasn't all into them per se, compared to him having to be a CEO of a university and take care of so many different other things besides just the players. And I thought that was a very heartfelt answer. I thought that came with truth. Shout out to Rachel Barbeau who asked the question. And he was speaking honestly. And I agree with it. You know, there were times last year and in the spring, and, you know, think about it. You spend 4 months getting ready for spring football after you take the job. You go out there and you're like, holy crap, this is what I have to work with. So I think he could have probably spent that time a little better, but I'm not the one to judge. He's a new head coach to the league, and there's a lot of different things going on. I thought during, you know, the main course of things, and he answered a lot of questions, and I'll just kind of ramble them off a little bit here, but, you know, talking about Solomon and Gibbs, they haven't heard back from the NCAA. I talked to somebody very close inside the program last night, and that is the truth. There's no word on Aubrey Solomon's gifts right now. I know there's some stuff flying around. They did talk with the NCAA, and they said that they were getting on it, which Tennessee's coaching staff, you know, took them in. Okay, maybe they're about to shore this thing up. Maybe we're about to figure out what's going on. So I will say that, you know, I think we'll have something, you know, in the next 2 weeks, I would imagine. So that's a bright sign. I look for Aubrey Solomon to get cleared more so than I look for Gibbs. If you go back and you can just go back and read on why Gibbs is in Tennessee right now and not at Georgia and figure out that Aubrey Solomon's probably got the better chance with the hardship waiver. And you're looking elsewhere. I'm telling you, boys, Trey Smith, I keep hearing this. And again, I had a conversation last night in Birmingham. This young man might be suited up first, second game of the year. And I don't know how it's possible. Tennessee's got to go through a lot of things. Got to get fully cleared by the doctor. He's off. Right now, he's off the medication.
Oh.
So, that's kind of obvious because of the workouts that he's on. You have to be off that medication for a certain amount of time.
Right. That does make perfect sense.
Right. So now what they're doing is they're making sure nothing comes back.
Gotcha.
They're making sure clots don't come back, form. And I'm not going to get into this kid's medical information, but everybody kind of knows the story by now.
Mm-hmm.
They're just trying to figure out, you know, it's not just, and I've said this a couple times, Tanner, and you'll probably understand, not just the doctors, and it's not just the coaches or Trey Smith. It's also the university because of liability reasons.
Oh, definitely.
That have to go through this process. Yeah. So, you know, it gun to my head, I didn't think it was possible, but I think Trey Smith could play this year. And I tell you, Jeremy Pruitt was pretty optimistic today in speaking about him. I posted that interview up earlier on Twitter that he thinks there's a good chance. So, hey, look, that would be a big addition to Tennessee's offensive line, especially going into a season where Tennessee really didn't know besides maybe three spots where they'd fill. So that's a bright spot. And then, you know, I thought, look, Darryl Taylor handled himself really well today. I think he's a joke with him when we were off camera. You know, I said, hey, look, we come from Bristol to where you're at right now. I said, that's just, you know, that's a testament of the hard work that you put in. You know, and he really spoke in depth about it, what the defense has got to do this year, picking up the different schemes again. And also, you know, and somebody else told me this, a coach from last season told me this. These players had no idea, you know, and probably until 7 or 8 games into the season, what they were actually running on defense.
Wow.
And I think the fact that you get a full year and a half in this system and trying to understand it, I think it'll go leaps and bounds to the defense. But the biggest thing, Tanner, is you got to have depth. And I think they have some depth at linebacker this year in the secondary. And if they can get Aubrey Solomon cleared, by God, they'll have actual depth, I think, at the defensive line front. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to me. I think Jeremy answered everything the right way today. Garantano, that young man right there, you can tell why he's a leader. I'm not going to come out and say, hey, this kid's going to be an NFL quarterback one day and he's going to leave the SEC next year because of some interviews, but I will say this. He is a leader for that university. He has the respect of his teammates. The funniest thing today is, the video is great. So Jeremy Pruitt's wife, she could tell that him and the quarterback, Garantano, needed to get on the same page. You know, they after a full season, let's sit down, let's talk about things. Jeremy Pruitt's wife invited Garantano and his girlfriend over to have dinner with Jeremy. And Jared said they sat down, they had a conversation. You know, they really hash things out in a way of what last season was compared to what they want for this spring and this upcoming season. And they said they got on the same page. And I think that was hard to do, Tanner, because you got a guy that, excuse me, that was running the defense all last year. And having to deal with the craziness that was Tyson Hilton's offense. So he probably didn't pay much attention to the quarterback. And Jarrett said they got on track. They got on the same page that night in February. He said Pruitt's wife fed them, and this is funny, he said Pruitt's wife fed them something called blueberry pie. and he said it's a Southern thing. He didn't know what it was, but you could tell that him and Pruitt's relationship has gotten stronger, and that's exactly what Tennessee needs. So, you know, that part was interesting. And Batuli, Batuli's just fun. He's a fun kid to be around. I think Batuli's an NFL prospect, especially if he comes out and leads this defense this year. He was a guy, he had a lot of answers today, but it was kind of the same thing. And, you know, it's kind of the last thing I'll say about this on this question. It's kind of weird. You walk into media days, and, Georgia's going on, and then on the back end of the day, you got Jimbo Fisher. And then stuck right there in the middle, you got Matt Luke and Jeremy Pruitt. The last 20 years, man, that shouldn't be the case. And there wasn't a lot of, I don't know what you want to call it, excitement. I don't know if sports writers can get really excited for stuff like that. But there wasn't too much energy in the room. But I will say that Jeremy and his crew handled it with class. They did everything the right way. They answered the right questions. And, you know, it's talking season now. Now let's strap them up August 1st or 2nd. And we'll be playing some football.
Hey, Trey, fantastic stuff as always, sir. Have a safe trip up from down there in old Alabama. We'll look forward to seeing tomorrow. Appreciate you being the boots on the ground there. As, like you said, man, talking season is underway, but that just means that actual football is right around the corner.
You got that right, man. Thanks to Fox Sports Knoxville. Appreciate everybody at the station. Thanks to you guys. We'll have some stuff going up later tonight. You can go check out all the videos, quotes, and everything like that. Check out both Fox Sports Knoxville's Twitter account, Facebook account, my Twitter, all that good stuff. And Tanner, I always appreciate you, buddy. I'll have a great rest of your show.
Hey, Trey, appreciate you calling in, my man. Have a safe travels back up here. Trey Wallace of Fox Sports Knoxville. You can hear him back on the drive tomorrow from 3 to 6, where he usually is alongside Russell and the Bear. Trey traveling up here. A lot of great stuff. A lot of great stuff from Tennessee Stop and SEC Media Days today. That was, nothing really too crazy.
No.
Nothing really too crazy, but...
Not necessarily a bad thing.
From what Trey said, though, and just from stuff he has heard, a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
A lot of confidence from different people around this program, so... you always love to see it as the season's 47 days away. We got to hit a break. When we come back, we're going to condense everything here since we went a little over there. Going to try to do as much Media Days talk as we can on the other side, too. And we'll also get to our Mount Rushmore as well. 865-546-8200, 546-8200 to get on the Next Door Home Network hotline here. We're going to come back with more overtime. On the other side, stick with us. You're listening to Fox Sports Knoxville. Wrapping up hour one of overtime here. About to get into Mount Rushmore here in a minute, but before we do that, while I wait on everybody to complete their list, we're going to give you our Mount Rushmore of clothing brands, by the way. And yes, shoes count as well. So we're waiting for everyone to compile their list. While we wait, though, once again, shout out to our own Trey Wallace hopping on last segment, giving his rundown of Tennessee's stop at SEC Media Days today down there in Hoover. Getting into a little bit more of what some players said, too. Manny talked a lot about Daryl Taylor and how entertaining Daryl Taylor is, Vols senior edge rusher, who's expected to have a huge season in his final run-through in a Tennessee uniform here. Mm-hmm. Daryl Taylor, he simply said that, quote, "We'll definitely get to a bowl game. That's not a thing."
Mm.
Okay. Okay.
Right. I like the confidence.
Give me that confidence, DT.
I like it.
Give me all that. You're going to be the leader of a defense, of a team who's coming off 4-8, 5-7 seasons.
Yeah.
I like it.
I do,
like
too.
Like you said, hey, ain't no thing. Ain't no thing. I think
we
if you ask.
We need the confidence.
I think if you ask any odds maker, they'll tell you the same thing. Basically, every Vegas win total line's about 6, 6.5. If you go to ESPN FPI, it's at 7.6 for projected wins for Tennessee.
All right.
Tennessee should get to a bowl game. You should have got to a bowl game last season. Daniel Batuli echoed some of the same things here. He was asked how close Tennessee was, how close Tennessee is to competing at a championship level. Mm-hmm. Daniel Batuli said, really close.
Yeah.
So you got your old heads there on the defense. They're very confident. Obviously, bowl game, I think we would all agree, bare minimum expectation.
Bare
here.
Minimum.
You
have
need,
to make a bowl game.
You need to at least get to that 6-6 marker in the regular season so you have that one win improvement. So you could physically see that, hey, there is improvement as we progress throughout the years here.
Yes.
I would expect that. I'm glad the players are expecting that too. He said Darryl Taylor also talking about some preseason predictions by some sports writers, expecting Tennessee to be picked 4th or 5th in the East once the media votes at the end of the week. Darryl Taylor said, we won't worry about responding. We'll just do what we have to do to be successful every week.
I like it.
So a lot of confidence. A lot of confidence radiating today. And, man, who knows? Maybe you hear something very soon about Aubrey Solomon, about him getting cleared.
Yeah.
By all indications, the Trey Smith front looking positive as well.
Yes. That
good news,
I mean,
coming, hopefully,
getting
soon.
Getting Trey Smith would be absolutely huge.
I'd say. I'd
so many people would get so excited because they know he's a proven competitor when he plays.
They talked a little bit on the drive. They thought their question of the day was going to be, who would you rather have, Aubrey Solomon or Trey Smith? I mean, come on, Trey Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All day.
All day long.
All day. You have so many problems solved just by having him on the field.
Yeah.
All right.
We've seen him before. We know his commitment. Gotta have him.
And especially, what a great story that would be, too. Just for people who follow college football, follow
sports,
just for stories.
You know how committed he is to wanting to play football.
100%.
Like, he does everything, and he loves the program. He's willing to help out wherever you can, even if you can't be on the field. It's just a great guy all around.
We're all rooting for that young man, that's for sure. Okay, everybody's list compiled.
For the most part.
I got it.
Okay, well, I'll go ahead and go first just to save some time here.
All right.
Will, take us to Mount Rushmore. It is our Mount Rushmore of clothing brands. Okay, I will kick mine off here. The first one for me was so easy. I just thought of, wow, what do I have a lot of in my closet? It's Columbia.
Columbia.
I'm a big fan of Columbia. I'm wearing Columbia shorts right now. I have, man, Columbia PFG shirts. Oh, so clutch in the summertime. I have plenty. I got Columbia shorts. I have a Columbia hat as well. It's not even a thing, just me liking the brand. It's just consistently good products at a good price as well.
Yes. They are very reasonable.
Usually you can find a lot discount as well.
Mm-hmm.
So love Columbia. Next up. You know, I don't know how many people, I know the craze isn't now as much as it was years ago where everybody was wearing them, but man, I like Sperry's.
Yeah.
I wear Sperry's right now in the winter time, or if it's like raining bad, when the weather is colder, I have Sperry duck boots.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. They're just a consistent product for me. Next up, Polo Ralph Lauren.
Okay.
Gotta have the horse.
Yeah.
Gotta have the horse.
Iconic.
Once again, it's not even thinking about just having the brand, just to have the logo. Just nice shirts. Just very nice shirts. And like you said, Julia, it's also a very iconic brand.
It is.
Speaking of iconic brands, last up, Nike.
Nike.
I got Nike shoes, several pairs, Nike socks. obviously amazing athletic gear. That doesn't even have to be said. I have plenty of Nike Tennessee stuff because of the brand switch a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Nike, say what you want about them. I know some people have, swore to boycott Nike the rest of their life. I don't care that much. It's just, they're just close to me.
Yeah.
So, Nike rounds up my list. Who wants to go next?
I'll go next. So, first up for me, I've got American Eagle. I get a lot of my, nicer clothes from American Eagle. That is also the only place I buy my jeans because they offer extra long sizes in jeans and I have longer legs, so they always fit me perfectly.
I feel like me being a man, it became kind of looked down upon for me to shop there once I turned 21, 22.
Yeah, I mean, it's a weird kind of, for men, I get it, but I think girls, they have a little bit more of a gap in age that they can get away with, but yeah, they have good jeans. And then next for me, I also had Nike on the list. Gotta have it. It's Tennessee's, brand. It's my favorite brand for athletic wear. I just feel like they have really nice stuff. Next is Steve Madden. It's like one of my favorite shoe brands. They have really nice shoes, sandals, heels, just regular tennis shoes. Like, love their shoes. And then last for me is Columbia. I feel like Columbia.
Another fan of Columbia.
Yeah, I love Columbia. They got the rain jackets, they got the coats,
Rain jacket too. I also have a Columbia rain jacket.
Yes.
That gum. I do.
Pretty affordable too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do love Columbia now that I think about it.
They've got it all.
Will, finish this out here.
Number one, I got Jordan. I just think that's an iconic brand. I don't own any Jordan shoes because I can't really afford them, but just an iconic brand and I like their stuff. I got Adidas next. My favorite pair of sweatpants I wear all the time in the winter are the three-stripe sweatpants with zipper pockets.
Yeah.
And the comfiest socks I've ever worn, too. Next up, Fruit of Loom. I love graphic t-shirts. Also great underwear. And
amazing
plain white
underwear!
T-shirt too. Very versatile. And to round out, I put Vans at the bottom just because the little hipster in me relies on Vans just a little bit.
I had a pair of Vans when I was in high school.
Oh, I had Vans too.
Did too. There was like a phase where like everybody was like wearing them.
Everyone
so
was wearing the Vans.
I just had to join, I guess. I'm not a hype beast, I
the
promise.
Vans or the Converse.
I also had a pair of Chuck Taylors too.
Chucks, yeah.
That was even more years ago. Great list though. I don't think I have a lot more time to kill. All right, we'll just go ahead and end hour one here. Hour two on deck. More overtime coming up after this. God bless the priest, Mrs. Robinson. Heaven holds a place for those who pray.